Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. Amazing. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, your exercise, and medication decisions. All those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and a lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
911, what is your emergency?
I'm at a friend's house. He's out of town, and I came here to check on his wife, and she's dead on the floor.
Okay.
Stay on the line.
Sir, hold on, stay on the line.
Yes.
Okay, you're doing very well. Good job. Just a moment, we're going to connect you. They're going to ask for the address.
MLS Empire, what is the address of the emergency?
21034 Jarvis.
Jarvis Road? Okay, and is that a house or an apartment, sir?
The house.
Tell me exactly what happened.
My friend, Teresa Sievers, she's a doctor. I'm a doctor. She came home last night. Her husband is in Connecticut, and she was supposed to go to work at 9 o'clock. She called me, and I was on my way into work, so I swung by. And she's dead on the floor. And there's a hammer at the side, and she's bashed in the back of the head.
The mystery surrounding a beautiful young doctor, there's no doubt about it. Dr. Teresa Sievers was murdered in her own home in an upscale Florida subdivision. And always we look at the husband, the boyfriend, the lover first. That doesn't work in this case. The husband is out of town with their daughters. You know, sometimes you come upon a dead body. Well, I do anyway. I don't know if everybody else comes upon dead bodies, but I do. You can look at a dead body, and very often you know this was not by natural causes. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. You're hearing a co-worker, another doctor, Dr. Mark Petrites, and he's describing how he came by to check on Teresa Sievers. She's dead in the floor. What an all-star panel to break it down and put it back together for us today. Renowned New York defense attorney Jason Oceans, who practices law in every courtroom in the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and beyond. Jeff Cortese, former FBI special agent, the director of the Cold Case Research Institute, Cheryl McCollum, crime scene expert. I'm sure Dr. Tim Gallagher, the medical examiner for the state of Florida, is going to argue with me about you can look at a body and tell it's not natural. Well, you know, Gallagher, when you got a clawfoot hammer stuck in your head, I'm pretty sure that's not suicide, accident, or natural cause. Dr. Bethany Marshall with me, and boy, she's got her hands full out on Rodeo Drive. But first, to reporter WINK-TV, Fort Myers, Florida, joining us right now, Amanda Hall. Amanda Hall, thank you for being with us, but not to point the finger at Dr. Mark Petrites, but he didn't sound too excited, did he? I don't like it when somebody finds a dead body and they're not upset.
You know, he didn't. You can hear on the call that he goes outside and he says, well, I don't know who's in there, who's still inside the house. But he says it so calmly that, you know, it doesn't sound like he thinks that there's some maniac who's still in there. You know, he says she's out cold and there's blood all around. He's certain that she's dead.
You know, Dr. Tim Gallagher, the medical examiner for the state of Florida, there's just something about it. I mean, I know you have got a medically trained eye, but very often, even a layperson, they say, well, did you try to do CPR? And they go, oh, no, they were dead. You look at a body very often, and you know instinctively, you know what, I'm going to go to a layperson because I know you're going to throw some medical jargon on me. Cheryl McCollum, director of the Cold Case Research Institute, you and I have seen a lot of dead bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean in the funeral home. You know instinctively when the body is dead.
You know immediately. There's no question in your mind. You don't have to be trained. So even though this person was a doctor, when he saw the scene this gruesome, of course he knew immediately.
Now, Dr. Tim Gallagher, go ahead and hit me with some medical jargon. Please don't go into Warp 4. I assume you're a Star Trek fan. But what happened to her? What is the cause of death? I'm talking about a clawfoot hammer, but what was her true cause of death, Dr. Gallagher?
Well, you know, the scene looked pretty bloody. And, you know, when she was struck in the back of the head with the hammer, I would imagine she received some skull fractures. And when the brain is disabled because of the skull fracture, that does not stop the heart from pumping. The heart can pump without a signal from the brain. So while her head has these fractures.
Wait a minute. Your heart can continue to pump if your brain is not functioning?
Absolutely. That's why you find a lot of people who are clinically dead via their brain scan, but their heart is still beating. That's why they have to disconnect the support mechanisms to people who are brain dead, because their heart is still beating.
Well, I hope everybody's had their morning coffee before they tune in. But, I mean, I find this fascinating. But, yes, I get the analogy. I was thinking that the brain had to tell the heart to pump. But your analogy with someone who is, for instance, in a coma and they are, in fact, brain dead, I guess due to lack of oxygen, their brain is no longer functioning, their heart does continue. You're right, Dr. Gallagher. So when you get a blow to the back of the head, I mean, like Cheryl and I, we know you die, but what does that do to your brain? Why do you die from a blow to the head? What medically happens?
Well, you actually die of excessive blood loss. Normally, scenes that you go to where there is a head injury is an extremely bloody scene, an overly bloody scene. It's because the skin is ripped, the skull is fractured, blood vessels are broken, but the heart is still pumping that blood onto the floor, onto the bed, onto the surrounding areas. And it'll continue to do that for 30 seconds, maybe up to 90 seconds until the body is out of blood. And that's actually how you die from these injuries.
Take a listen to our friends at ABC News.
In Florida, a prominent doctor who appeared on local television found dead in her home after failing to show up at her office. ABC's Rena Ninen is here with more on the story. Good morning, Rena.
Hey, Amy, good morning. This murder mystery has rocked the South Florida community, and right now, law enforcement asking everyone to do one particular thing: lock your doors. This morning, police in Bonita Springs, Florida, searching for clues after Dr. Teresa Severs, a local doctor and mother of two, was found dead in her home.
Please don't tell me it's that house. Please don't tell me it's that house. He said it is.
After a family vacation last week, Severs returned to Florida alone, calling her husband to let him know she'd arrived safely. When she didn't show up for work Monday morning, worried colleagues called police, who discovered her body.
You were hearing our friends over at ABC News. That was Rena Ninen talking about the discovery of Teresa Severs' body, Dr. Severs' body. Jason Oceans, New York defense attorney. Jason, I know we like to point the finger immediately at the husband, but the husband is, I think it was Connecticut. He was on a family vacation, and Teresa had been with him and their two little daughters, and she came home that Sunday night to see patients the following Monday morning. But why is it? Let's just be blunt, Jason Oceans. Why is it we always look at the husband, the boyfriend, the lover, the ex first?
Well, two reasons. One, because the closest relationships, either good or bad, are from that intimate circle. And of course, statistically, if you look through, just being biased for the moment that it's that immediate circle, most murders are crimes of passion. The in some way. The victim, most of the time, I think it's, you know, 70% of the time, knows the murderer, as it turns out after, you know, the case. So,
well, hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Jason, did you hear what ABC said that was Rena Nina talking? She brought out the fact Teresa Seavers often appeared on TV, and she was especially into women's wellness. She was a tiny little thing. She would wear spike heels. In fact, I've looked at the surveillance video a number of times of her coming through the airport. She's got on high heels. And interesting, she was still wearing the same outfit she was wearing when she left the airport that night, which tells me when this occurred, right after she got in from the airport. But she's on TV a lot. Jason Oceans, you've appeared on TV many, many times. Well, with me, as a matter of fact. People out there see you and either love you or hate you. And some of them are nuts. In my mind, that opens up a whole avenue of potential suspects.
No, it certainly does. I mean, that casts a wider net for sure. And you don't want to be too quick to make judgment. But again, statistically, looking at everything from FBI crime statistics, state, everything, that focus is, you know, in and then works its way out.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
My friend, Teresa Seavers, she's a doctor. I'm a doctor. She came home last night. Her husband is in Connecticut, and she was supposed to go to work at 9 o'clock. She called me, and I was on my way into work, so I swung by, and she's dead on the floor.
Teresa Seavers, a young and beautiful mom, found dead in her Bonita Springs home after her staff at her office get very concerned she didn't show up because she had scheduled appointments. She had been in Connecticut with her husband, Mark, and their children and sister, Annalisa, just before her death. She flew home alone Sunday night. She even called her husband, told him she got there safely. The next thing you know, she's dead. Take a listen to this 911 call.
Sheriff's office, are you on the way? Yes, no. Okay. All right, and so you said you're a doctor?
Yes, I am.
Okay, are you with her now?
I'm outside of the house because I don't know if there's anybody in the house.
Okay, all right, so how old is Teresa?
She's 50s, 47-ish.
All right, sir, and is she awake?
No, she's dead on the floor. She's okay. Cold. And the back of her head is bashed in, and there's blood everywhere.
Okay. All right. So I do have paramedics, fire department, also law enforcement is on the line with us. Okay, they're going to be going out, okay?
Okay, okay.
So I want you to stay on the line one moment. Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to stay here until I get here because, I don't know if anybody's still in the house.
Okay. All right.
Was right.
Just stay on the line, okay? The sheriff's office has questions, and they're going to counsel you on what to do next.
Okay. Yes, sir, are you inside the residence then?
No, I'm not. I'm standing in the driveway.
Okay. And then when you walked inside the house, you said the blood was dry, or what did you say?
Yeah, half the blood is dry, half is wet. She's cold. She's dead cold.
Wow. You're hearing more of that 911 call, and that's a coworker, another doctor, that finds Dr. Seavers dead in her kitchen floor. Cheryl McCollum, director, Cold Case Research Institute. Half the blood dry, half the blood wet. analyze.
Nancy, there's so much blood that comes from an injury from the head. What he's probably seen is, you know, the liquid from surrounding the, you know, the brain itself mixed with the blood, so it may appear shiny and wet. But this has been hours that she's been laying there.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, renowned in her field as a psychoanalyst. Dr. Bethany, why is it, and I've asked myself this a million times, I know it's rhetorical, I'm not going to really get an answer, but why is it the great, good-hearted people are the ones that seem to die young, that are murdered, that go off to war? You know that old phrase, the good die young? If that's the case here. Teresa Severs was so into her community, so into women's wellness. She would go speak at events. She would have special clinics to help her clients, all for free, to try and help her community. Very doting mom. I mean, she did it all, Dr. Bethany. Why her? And not some scuzzbucket dope dealer.
Right. Well, there actually is some very compelling research.
I mean, Bethany, Charles Manson basically dies of old age in jail while I'm paying for his love letters and his internet access and his three hots and a cot. Why? Why him and not her?
Well, there is some very compelling research that came out a few years ago that in marriages where the woman is more successful, makes more money, or is more educated, the husband is like three or four times more likely to either have an affair or to kill his wife. Now, I'm not saying I know who killed her.
Now, wait a minute. Right there, Dr. Bethany. See, you know, my husband is very quiet spoken typically, but he's a business brainiac. This is the way I avoid any of that. I work him like a dog. You know, I'm in there cleaning the guinea pig's cage at 7 a.m. I make him come help me. I'm like, David, you have twins now. Go play outside with the twins. I mean, he is dragging his tails between his leg by the end of the day. I just work the man as hard as you can. And then he won't
think about
an affair. What? That doesn't work?
I wrong? Unlike this husband who had a lot of free time on his hands. Okay?
Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. I want to follow up on that. Amanda Hall, WINK-TV, Fort Myers, Florida. Do you hear what she's saying? Now, let me understand something. Of course, she's going down a rabbit hole right now because the husband's in Connecticut when the murder occurs. But what about the husband? What can you tell me about Mark Severs? Didn't she, Dr. Teresa Severs, employ him?
Yes, he was her office manager. She really ran the show, and he was, by all accounts, a doting husband who worshipped the ground that she walked on and that managed her office while she was the successful doctor and main breadwinner of their home. He's also been described as kind of Mr. Mom, spending a lot more time with their two daughters. You know, he's the main parental figure for those two while she's off, you know, making the money and is really the star of the practice.
Ooh, Jeff Cortese, former FBI special agent. Why does the man have to be all jealous and brooding when the wife does well? You know, my mom worked full time. She made as much as my dad. He was happy.
Yeah, Nancy, you know, I think we find in cases such as this that, you know, sometimes you have varying degrees of background, different occurrences in people's lives that influence the outcome of their life. You know, the FBI would probably be looking closely at, you know, the parental upbringing that maybe a subject or a suspect had as they grew up, and we might gain additional clarity into that. But, you know, we're influenced by what happens around us, and that's no different in for those who are committing crimes and those who are not.
Take a listen to our friends over at CBS 48 Hours.
We talk about our physical health, mental health.
That mission was to open a holistic practice where she could heal patients by blending traditional and alternative medicine. She also spread her message in speeches and videos.
There's our spiritual and energetic health.
We would have patients from all over the world. They would come to us after they failed everything else.
Sandra Hoskins was Teresa Severs' longtime medical assistant.
She wouldn't take
no for an answer.
Talking about the doctor still makes Sandra emotional.
And as a patient, she wouldn't allow you to say, I'm never going to get better.
You're hearing our buddy, Erin Moriarty, over there at CBS 48 Hours. She was a fixture in the community. Everybody loved her. Now, who was it earlier? Oh, it was you, Amanda Hall, WINK-TV, Fort Myers, Florida. You were telling me how Mark Sievers worshipped his wife, adored her. Don't you think it's a little creepy that he would use his digital calendar to document their sex encounters? I mean, I guess I've got to go put David's, my husband's, cell phone on Bark along with the two children. It pops up every time there's anything that has to do with sex or a curse word or bullying or violence or a gun. What do you mean? He had, every time they had sex, he put it on their digital calendar?
Yeah, he put it on his cell phone. He took, extensive notes, basically kept a journal of their fights, their arguments, and was writing things like, I want intimacy. She won't give me intimacy, talking about how they never have sex and how, Teresa is saying things like she doesn't think they're going to make it. And some of it as recently as the month leading up to her death.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Dr. Teresa Sievers was murdered in her own home in an upscale Florida subdivision. And what about the husband? I don't understand it. Maybe I'm missing something. Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst out of L.A., he's got her paying all the bills. He's living in this beautiful home. He's got two gorgeous little daughters. What's not to like, Dr. Bethany? I mean, throw me in that pot of honey. That sounds great.
Okay. Nancy?
What?
What I hear in this is that he is chronicling complaints about her. When I have men come into my practice and their wives are beautiful and successful and lovely, and they start to say, I don't have any intimacy and we never have sex, I start to question that, because when a man wants to have sex, he just approaches the woman and they have sex. That's really what happened. So all of this, we don't have intimacy.
Wait a minute. Who told you that? Who told you that? Okay, go ahead.
After 30 years of clinical practice, I know what domestic abuse sounds like. And this is how it sounds. It sounds like all kinds of complaints that don't really hang together, that the complaints have a strange or bizarre quality, and also that the husband is chronicling the complaints. Nancy, big picture, this guy was a nurse. He had training. He had medical training, and he is allowing his wife to support the family while he's waltzing in and out of the practice. I have colleagues in my medical building where they work their tails off, and their husbands are the quote-unquote office managers, and it's never good. It is never, ever good. It usually is a man who is willing to sit back while the wife does all of the work and he has all of the free time. What a good husband does is tries to foster the wife also having some free time and also having time with the kids, rather than just hoarding all the parenting responsibilities while the wife does all the work.
Cheryl McCollum, director of the Cold Case Research Institute, I think Bethany's right. Sorry, guys, on the panel, Dr. Tim Gallagher, Jeff Cortese, Jason Oceans. I remember, Cheryl, What a, oh my goodness, it was the worst because a neighbor was out cutting her grass and the husband was not helping.
Mm-hmm.
Not to top it all off, it was on a Sunday. And so they were immediately referred to as heathens. And of course, my mom tried to soften the blow by saying, well, maybe they went to the early service. But anyway, they didn't. Long story short, the mom is out doing all the yard work. And that was just a shock. And I remember as a little girl thinking, oh, my stars, the mommy's doing all the yard work and the husband's not even helping.
Sure.
I didn't even know what I was talking about, but she's right.
She's absolutely right, Nancy. And here's the thing. My dad used to say, if you have to put male in front of your job, then you're doing a woman's job. So oftentimes we hear people say he's a male nurse, not a nurse. So traditionally, he does have the job of a woman. I am certain in his social group, he gets a lot of crap from that from guy friends. On top of that, he's called a Mr. Mom. So he doesn't feel very masculine, I would imagine, at work or at home. He blames her.
Well, I've got to tell y'all something. I just got to say something in defense of my husband and my dad. My dad, I was just cleaning up a cup this morning. Now, see, Jeff Cortese, I bet you didn't think you were going to be talking about this when you signed up. About cleaning a cup of grits. You're the FBI agent, macho guy. This morning I was cleaning out a cup of grits I had made for my mother who now lives with us. She's certainly a handful. And it reminded me, and I smiled, because I remember my mom would make us grits every morning before she went to work. She'd be gone by 7. And it would all be sitting out in 3 little bowls at the bar and 3 little cups of coffee that were half milk to get us going. And my dad, when he would get home from the night shift on the railroad, he would be tasked. Have you ever tried to clean grits out of a bowl? It ain't easy. Okay. So he would be saying, you children, I can hear him right now. And my dad would take me to the doctor to get allergy shots. He'd take me to games because he worked at night and he was home a lot during the day. And my husband, he jumps right in, does laundry, does everything traditionally a female role would be. We both do. So I hear what Cheryl and Dr. Bethany are saying, but you can't get around the fact that the husband, regardless of his role and his weird digital sex calendar, he was out of state at the time. So Cortese, this brings me to the real issue, the crime scene. What would you as FBI be looking at, like a burglar alarm? That was my first question.
No, absolutely. Houses with alarms generally advertise the fact that they have an alarm. So, if I'm approaching this house, approaching the crime scene, that's going to want to be one of the first things that's going to stand out to me is that the house has an alarm. So the first question is going to be, why wasn't it on? Or was it on and it didn't register? What were the issues there? We're going to be looking for footprints, fingerprints, any DNA, any disturbance of the blood around the crime scene that might help us identify the number of people that were present, looking for forcible entry into the house, CCTV at that house and neighboring houses. We're gonna start scouring the neighborhood and canvassing for witnesses, anything that may have looked out of character for the neighborhood, any vehicles that didn't belong. There's a lot to work with, particularly in a violent scene. It makes it easier to find disturbances to that scene.
And another issue, Jeff Cortese, I was just working on the Dulos case, the Connecticut mom of 5, Jennifer Dulos, who goes missing, her body's still not found. And I was looking at the affidavit, it's really long. They have got surveillance video from all over. They have surveillance video from school buses. When the school bus would open its doors, you can see, for instance, the husband driving by on a route that police are investigating. They have toll surveillance. They have red light surveillance. They have business surveillance. They have home surveillance from the neighbors. They have surveillance from, and they've really pieced together a very convincing route by the suspects. So you're absolutely right, Jeff Cortese. To Amanda Hall, WINK-TV, Fort Myers, Florida. Amanda, tell me about their burglar alarm. I got our place so tricked out. I mean, I can hardly open the door to the bathroom without an alarm going off. So, Amanda, tell me about their burglar alarm. I'm very curious. Why did it not go off?
Yeah, that's one of the first things that I really remember when we listened to the police investigative interviews was the interview with the husband, Mark's mother, Teresa's mother-in-law. She was over there to let the dogs out and attend to the house while they were away at this family trip in Connecticut. And the morning of, she was having some trouble with the alarm. And Mark tells her, "Don't worry about it, Mom. It's okay." And she's, you know, crying to police saying, "I feel like it's all my fault. I, you know, couldn't get the alarm reset and I'm having trouble with it. And oh my goodness, is it my fault that someone went in there and got Teresa?"
You know, I'm writing a book right now, Cheryl McCollum, and one of the chapters, Don't Be a Victim, one of the chapters is Safe at Home. And in it, and I've learned a lot of tips I didn't know researching, but one of the tips I do know, and now it's second habit, when I'm home, especially when I'm home with the twins and my mom, my 88-year-old mom, and for instance, David's out of town or David is in town, I have that alarm on when we are home. That's when I want the house protected the most, to protect the twins.
That's a great point, Nancy, because most people turn the alarm off when they get home and leave it off. That is a brilliant thing to mention for your audience.
And it's so elementary, so elementary. To Dr. Tim Gallagher joining me, the medical examiner for the state of Florida. Dr. Gallagher, I've been analyzing her wounds. And it looks like, I'm not sure about this, but she had a very, very severe blow to the back of the head. Yet, it looks as if she put up a fight. If you get that kind of blow to the back of the head, I mean, how did this thing go down, Dr. Gallagher?
Well, difficult to say what the force of the first strike was. I mean, she may have been running from her attacker, thereby when he hit her, you know, she didn't get the full impact of the blow and was able to fight back to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that would be my first clue. So I would have to see where the blood trails go, if there's blood in several of the rooms rather than just in one area. So that would indicate that she was fleeing her attacker and not receiving the full impact of the hammer.
Oh, now see, you explained that so clearly because I couldn't understand. You get a blow to the back of the head with a hammer, it's over right then and right there. You fall in your tracks. But yet, Cheryl McCollum, the crime scene suggests there was a fight. I mean, she put up a fight, Cheryl. Weigh in on the crime scene. That's your expertise.
It is so violent, Nancy. Not only does it appear that she did fight, the level of violence. What is fascinating to me is, again, she was not sexually assaulted. It doesn't appear anything is missing from the home of value. So this looks like pure rage. It looks like they went to kill her.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Stories with Nancy Grace.
It dawned on me, you go, holy crap, I'm being watched. And then the detective walked in and he asked me point blank, "Did you have a sexual relationship with doctor outside the office?"
Never had a relationship with her outside of work or anything like that. Dr. Seavers ever come on to you?
And he goes, "Did you have a sexual relation with doctor inside the office?" I said, absolutely not.
Police were suspicious because Frank had been let go from his job at Dr. Seaver's practice by her husband, Mark, 9 months before she was murdered.
That's Erin Moriarty over at 48 Hours digging into this case as well. Amanda Hall, WINK-TV, Fort Myers, you didn't mention anything about this guy, Frank Payas, because is there a chance he was having a sex relationship with Dr. Seavers and the husband, Mark Seavers, gets mad and fires him?
Well, you know, in that same journal on the cell phone, you know, Mark talks about losing trust in her and thinking that she either had or wanted to cheat on him. So I think that was, you know, that was a Mark thing. That wasn't a, you know, a police theory or an investigative theory. I think that that just added to, you know, the jealousy and the torment that Mark's writing about, you know, in this cell phone journal.
I just don't get it. The jealousy, the torment. Jason Oceans, New York defense attorney, what's he got to be tormented about? I mean, again, he is riding the gravy train. What's his problem?
Nancy, I just need to go back a little bit to where we were in terms of the facts. I mean, he was managing the office. He wasn't just Mr. Mom. He allowed her to advance in her career and having a career of his own. That's how they met.
Whoa. He allowed her. What did you just actually say?
Allowed.
I heard you.
Not allowed like chattel, but afforded a better synonym.
I'm telling your wife. Don't think I won't do it. I have her cell number.
Afforded the opportunity to explore the holistic career that she had always wanted. So that office was getting managed, decisions in the office, payroll. He was the office manager of what was seemingly a busy and active practice. I don't know that the term Mr. Mom is negative at all, certainly not to me, but he was also professional.
Well, you're the one that said just Mr. Mom.
No.
You said that too,
Beth
Jason
Bethany,
Oceans. You need another cup of coffee.
Threw out the Mr. Mom.
She didn't say just Mr. Mom.
Men who are nurses.
I did not. I would never use the phrase Mr. Mom.
Ooh, well, because I'm telling you.
We're going to roll back that transcript. We're going to get that transcript. Someone said Mr. Mom.
It was Cheryl.
There you go. All right, done. There it is. But that was
so, I mean, this guy and all of his perceived problems. I mean, Amanda Hall, WINK-TV, Fort Myers, you're all over this case. What's he got to complain about? Do you know something I don't know, Amanda?
You know, everybody that we've talked to who were patients of hers, I mean, this is a woman that someone described, and these are the words she used, as the Oprah Winfrey of Florida, among people who were seeking this kind of holistic alternative treatment. You know, Teresa is the star. These patients also told us about times where they could hear her letting him have it, yelling at him up and down in another room, but where it was, you know, flooding the entire lobby and the exam rooms of the office, they could hear her hollering at him.
Well, I would holler too if I found out my husband had a digital sex calendar. But okay, that aside, in the midst of all this, in addition to the guy that gets fired, that gets dragged in by police, in addition to whatever nut may have seen her on TV, another name emerges.
In her police interview, Dr. Seaver's sister, Annie Lisa, said she heard Sandra Hoskins was a disgruntled employee.
Well, I'm like, oh my God, they think I did it.
Sandra, who claimed she had been treated harshly by Dr. Seaver's in the past, had planned to hand in a resignation that very Monday the doctor was found dead. According to Sandra, the doctor told her she was bringing bad energy to the office.
Why would anyone think that you did this? A lot of the patients didn't know the way she treated me.
And so people thought, maybe you just had enough.
And crept into her home and hit her in the head with a clawhead hammer? I don't see it, because Dr. Tim Gallagher, a medical examiner for the state of Florida, I'm not stereotyping, I am analyzing the facts. That is typically a male crime, that type of violence. That's very rare for a woman to commit this type of a murder.
Well, I've had several of these exact same types of scenes before where a woman was attacked with a hammer, and every time the suspect was brought to justice, it was a male. So I don't have any evidence to support that a female does these types of things, and all the evidence I need to support that is definitely a male-dominated crime.
You know, Amanda Hall, WINK-TV, Fort Myers, we're talking about why the husband whines all the time. But let me just throw in a little bombshell here, a little grenade in the works. Were they swingers?
Nancy, that is something that that's been said of them, that they had an open marriage, and that they had partners outside of each other. Yes.
Guys, stay with us tomorrow, part two, in the mystery of the murder of Dr. Teresa Severs. Nancy Grace, Crime Stories, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. It's Dexcom. With the new Dexcom G7, you get better diabetes results without those awful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or to your watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affect your glucose. It makes it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's so easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.